Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It's just so good to be back on this day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and we're going to be glad in it. We just are excited about God's grace and mercy within our lives. I want to get into the lesson today, teaching on the Holy Spirit. This has already been a very challenging lesson for me, just going through especially Old Testament and seeing how the Holy Spirit works, His personality. But today we're going to jump back in and we're going to pick up with Saul. But before then, just a few announcements. Want you to please download the app. The people who have put this together have done a wonderful job. It's an elegant app where you see the tiles and you can just go to everything so quickly, and also the live stream. So please utilize that. Also, don't forget about ebcnc.com, where we've got so many things. And again, the app parallels that ebcnc.com. It just makes it a lot easier, especially since you can get notifications on your phone. And I'm just excited for what the Lord has done for Ebenezer and his just blessings. Anybody blessed out there? I've been truly blessed. Also, I want to remind you about giving. You've done a great job, but not just in giving to a physical Ebenezer, but I want you to reach out in your heart in prayer. Reach out in your heart in texting. Reach out in your heart in calling people. Reach out in your heart in doing things. So many people are in need in this time. Some may be just an emotional depression, things that are going through, and they just need to hear a voice. I can't tell you how many times I've called, I've texted someone, and it's like, I really needed that. I really needed to hear from someone. So please don't forget about that. Our giving scripture we focus on, I love it, 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. But also, don't forget about 2 Corinthians 9:9. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. God has been so good to us. Well, let's pray together. Father, I just thank you so much for your word. Thank you for being a wonderful provider. Thank you again for allowing us to connect together via the internet, but most importantly, via the Spirit. Lord, thank you for putting us in places that we can reach out to others, that we can bless others. Thank you for doing so many great things in our lives. We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I need
I need you.
Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of me, and I pray that you know him and you have the Spirit of God inside of you. If you don't know him, please get to know Jesus today. Let today be your day. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for your presence in our lives, Lord, for meeting man. God, thank you at our lowest point when there was no hope for us, because the wages of sin were death. Lord, you came with your son, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that those who don't know you today will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised him from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Now, Lord, I welcome your Holy Spirit. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And thank you for your anointing today, God. We're going to talk about that. The anointing that changes us from the inside out. You be glorified as we deal with your precious Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we get back into this study, I've just been excited. It's been very challenging, especially looking at it from the Old Testament viewpoint and working our way to the New Testament, thinking about the personality of the Spirit. Our topic that we're dealing with is the power of the Spirit, the power of Spirit. And there's a kind of a topical scripture I want you to really think about, Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Hovering, that's the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about that because that's so important, even to our today's lesson, as we think about the Spirit in the Old Testament sitting upon kings and sitting upon prophets. And the word I want you to keep in your mind is pneumatology. That's the study that we're going through. Those who have been in seminary or done a lot of studying when it comes to those things, it's a Greek word, pneumo meaning breath, and tology is the knowledge. So we're doing the study of the Spirit of God, and we're going to pick out again that personality traits. I want to jump into the scripture for today, 1 Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Listen to that again, 1 Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that date forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Our title today we're going to deal with is the covering of the Spirit. The covering of the Spirit. Once you just kind of picture, one of the things I love to do, and most people love to do, is to be able to get into a nice warm bed, especially when it's cold. And one thing I like to do is to pull up the cover over you. Yeah, some of you wake up, some of you thinking about going back to bed now, but pulling up the cover. And I want you to think about that same thought, that when the Spirit covers us, what does that do? It brings us comfort. Look at it from last time, and I want to work our way up to get to this portion of scripture. 1 Samuel 10:6 is where we were. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. That was King Saul. And that title from last Sunday has a change come over you. Some points in review. Just help us to walk through this from last time. Consecrated, preparation, a definite change. God is in charge, learning how to wait. You can't keep him to yourself. Hallelujah. Our time frame is about 100 BC. And from last Sunday, King Saul, he gets anointed, becomes king of Israel, the first king. Everything's going well. The anointing, God's Holy Spirit is upon him. Holy Spirit would sit upon kings. We're going to say that a lot. He would sit upon kings. And Saul, he is. Everything he's doing is prospering. He's winning battles with the Philistines, just smooth. But in his second year, and we alluded to that on last Sunday, he goes into a battle with King Agag. God actually enables him and the troops to overcome the Philistines. But in the midst of that, they have all of these spoils, and they were told not to mess with them, leave them alone. And a sacrifice is to be made, but it can only be made by the prophet Samuel. And so Saul is supposed to wait 7 days, 7 days. So it gets to the 7th day. He gets impatient. People are scattering. The Israelites are scattering. And so he decides it's 7 days and some hours that he's not going to wait for Samuel. He's going to get out ahead of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to go ahead and do sacrifice. Saul does the sacrifice. After the sacrifice is done, Samuel shows up, and Samuel is really livid. He's like, why did you do this? This was foolish that what you've done. You've gotten out ahead of the Holy Spirit. You've got out ahead of the Spirit of God. Therefore, your kingdom is going to be taken away from you. King Saul makes all of these excuses. Samuel actually walks away. King Saul turns to him, and he actually grabs him by the robe, trying to control him. And that was Saul's issues, trying to control situations. The robe of Samuel rips, and Samuel looks at him and said, because of this, this is a symbol that your kingdom is going to be torn from you. And at that point, God is like, I've got someone else to step up in the kingship. Wow, that is heavy. Let's get to this 1 Samuel 16:10. This is where we are. This young boy, thus Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. First point, you must be chosen by the Lord. Jesse has these sons, and Samuel is caught up with the way they look. So they're paraded in front. I can only imagine that some of them had this look of Saul, King Saul, tall and handsome. And God's like, we're not doing that, because it's not about their stature. It's not about their looks. It's about my Spirit. Don't forget that. And so as they're parading here, notice the Lord spoke, says, I haven't chosen these. These are not the one. And now we're looking for David, that boy that's on the backside of the field, and he's taking care of sheep at this point. So often we can rush ahead of God's Spirit. How often have we gotten ahead of God? We try to do it our own way. And how did that turn out for you? Miserably. Paul warns Timothy in the early church as it's being formed. Timothy was having some struggles, and he was tempted to get ahead of the Lord. He was tempted to do some things that God had not said yet. 1 Timothy 5:22, it says, do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. We're talking about the covering of the Spirit. So in this, as David is pulled into this situation, he's going to be the anointed king. Saul is in kind of this limbo part. Also, the Holy Spirit in the New Testament was in charge of separating. Yes, just as we see him in charge in the Old Testament, and even the choosing of King David, God pulling this all together, he separated people. Let me show you Acts 13:2-3, to the ministry. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Jesus has a powerful example of being led of the Holy Spirit, making sure that we're putting God first in everything. Luke 6:12-13. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he also chose 12, whom he also named apostles, the covering of the Spirit. So the Spirit always has the lead. We never, ever want to get out ahead of God. We must remember that God is omniscient. Yes, God is omniscient. He has all knowledge and understanding. Isaiah 55:8-9 brings this out. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That is why it's so important as New Testament believers to have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. And we know when we are saved, when we're truly saved, the Spirit comes on the inside of us. We can take that for granted, but now we don't have to lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he directs our paths. We're going to talk about this. Look at this next section of scriptures, 1 Samuel 16:11-13. "And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all the young men here?' Then he said, 'There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here.' So he sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy and with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is the one.' Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit," listen to this, "and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah." Here's another point, the anointing. Now, I want you to look at this. Notice that 12th verse again. "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." David, God is in charge. The Spirit of God is in charge at this point. And then that 13th verse, "and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." E. E. Henson, he writes to give us a compelling thought on this anointing. Anointing was only symbolic of God's choice. Only one king had been anointed in Israel, but the significance had already been established with the anointing of the priests and the holy things for the ministry to the Lord. The king was now to be God's servant. God had rejected Saul because he was self-serving. God had already made the choice. Yes, God had already made the choice because God is the one who leads. His Spirit is always in charge. Notice that 13th verse again. "Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forth." That "came" is very powerful. It's a Hebrew word. It's called salak. And in this word, it means literally to be in good condition and strong and efficient. This is important, for this ensures what's going to happen to David here. The Spirit of God comes upon David, and now he's going to be successful. Now, that doesn't mean that he wasn't successful before, but now his success is powered by the Holy Spirit. Just as Saul was anointed and the Spirit came upon him, and he had all of this powerful success with the Philistines and winning, the same thing now is going to come with David. And we need to think in our lives and thank God for having the Spirit on the inside of us. Please understand, we need to give God the praise for it. Whatever you've accomplished, never think it's about you. Whatever God allows you to do and it exceeds your expectation, always remember, I'm talking to the believer, that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. As New Testament believers, we got to understand something. Jesus said something in Matthew 19:26, "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" There ought to be some praises out there saying, when God is on the inside of us, there is nothing impossible, because now we don't have to depend on our understanding, our power, but we've got God's on the inside of us. You remember Peter? Jesus is his Holy Spirit on the inside. He's God. He's manifest. He has no limit of the Spirit. And they're on the ocean, and Peter's in the boat, and the disciples are in the boat, and Jesus comes walking on water. water. Yes, he can defy gravity. The Spirit is all powerful. And Peter asked him something. He said, if it's really you, allow me to come out on the water. And you know what? Because the Spirit is all powerful, for that brief period of time, Peter is able to walk on water. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, took his eyes off of the one that had the power, he began to sink. In our lives, it's the same way. We need to always stay focused on the Lord and thank him for his covering. 1 Samuel 16:14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. It's a heavy scripture. Let me read this again. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Here's another point. The departure. This is a very sobering scripture, very challenging from an Old Testament perspective. We understand the Spirit would sit upon kings from time to time, sit upon prophets from time to time. But this is a troubling part here because of Saul's sin. Because of he getting out ahead of the Lord, the Spirit of God, because he went ahead and did sacrifices that he wasn't supposed to do, and he thought it was about his power, he thought it was by his strength, now the Spirit departs from him. Yeah, this is important to note. But notice there's a troubling part in the text, and I want to admit it's very challenging. It says that second part, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. How do we deal with this? We understand when God's Spirit is pulled away from King Saul, something comes immediately to try to take that place. And because God is pulled out, a distressing spirit comes in. So let me give you some scriptures to just give us some kind of thought pattern of what's going on from the New Testament. Ephesians 4:30, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I believe as believers, you got to have the Holy Spirit, but the scriptures let us know we can actually grieve God's Spirit. More so in the Old Testament, King Saul grieves the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is pulled. Remember, the Old Testament is looking towards Jesus. Somebody say, thank God for Jesus. How often have we grieved God, but yet his grace and mercy was still there? Let me show you something else in Hebrews 10:26-29. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, listen to this, is important, and insulted the Spirit of grace? I'm talking about the coming of Spirit. Do you know as New Testament believers in the New Testament, we can actually insult the Spirit of grace? Yes, we can do all of these things because we don't recognize his power that's on the inside of us. Jesus states this. This is heavy. Matthew 12:31. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men, the covering of the Spirit. So we can grieve the Spirit, and now we can insult the Spirit, and then we find out that there's something that's called the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't even want to get into all the details. That's another sermon to deal with, but I want to bring out this thought pattern. The Spirit of God within these scripture is nothing to be played with. No, it's nothing to be played with. So often, well, we see people, they can come to a physical building, and I'm concerned that we're playing with the Spirit. I remember Shirley Caesar, she sang a song, and in that she was talking about that they would play church, and one time she would sing, and her brother would preach, and she got caught up within the midst of it, and they would play all the time, but the Spirit hit her, and mama looked out and said, no, they're not playing anymore. This is the real thing. And so often we take the Spirit for granted. Please understand, it's not just a Sunday thing with the
Holy Spirit on the inside of us. But it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. When you get up in the morning, you should be able to think about what God has done for you and in you. And something should move like a wheel in the middle of the wheel. That's the Holy Spirit for the believers out there. You should be able to be at noonday and maybe getting some lunch on your job. And no matter what you're going through, you can just turn to Him and the Spirit of God will just begin to jump on the inside of you. Why? Because He never leaves you nor forsake you. I'm talking about the covering of the Spirit. Dr. Farstead and Rendell Short, he brings something out about what's going on with Saul at this point. About this time, Saul became afflicted with a form of mental disorder caused by an evil spirit. The expression, a distressing spirit from the Lord, is explained by the fact that what God permits, He is often said to do. Yes, yes, yes. I want to read that last part. The expression, a distressing spirit from the Lord, is explained by the fact that what God permits, He is often said to do. Dr. Rendell Short, he actually analyzes what happens once that Holy Spirit of God is removed from King Saul. King Saul would now be diagnosed as a typical example of manic depressive insanity. The periods of intense gloom with occasional outbreaks of homicidal violence for no particular reason, the delusion that people were plotting against him are unmistakable. That's heavy. But thank God for the sacrifice Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary so that we can have Spirit of God dwelling with us at all time. Can you imagine at this point, because of the sin of Saul, that spirit being removed and now this distressing spirit takes its place? Look at this next portion of scripture, 1 Samuel 6:15 through 17. And Saul's servant said to him, "Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp, and it shall be that he will play it with his hands when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well." Look at that 17th verse. So Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me." Here's another point. Grace in the midst of rebellion. Grace in the midst of rebellion. Now, as you look at that scripture, notice it's the servants. It's the servants that bring out this thought. Okay, we see that you're going through King Saul, but we heard about some things. Now, before I go any further, I want to bring out, have you ever been blessed by God and didn't deserve it? You hurt people and persons in your life, but God still blessed you. There ought to be some shouts in there. I'm talking about God's grace. Have you ever been comforted by God when you discomforted somebody else? Yeah, you brought discomfort to somebody else, but God gave you comfort. There ought to be some excited folks say, yeah, I know about God's grace and I know about His mercies. This is what God is doing. King Saul does not deserve God's grace. King Saul does not deserve God's peace in this, but God says, even though my spirit has been taken away from you, the distressing spirit is upon you, I'm going to give you temporary times of relief. Unsaved folks need to be shouting now, because you know that God has been good to you in spite of your wickedness. I'm so glad to know a God that loves mankind. God uses the servants to give a temporary solution to his pain, and he uses it by saying music. Yeah, he uses it by bringing out this powerful thought of music. Noted theologian Matthew Henry writes, "Music has a natural tendency to compose and exhilarate the mind when it is disturbed and saddened. Elijah uses it for the calming of his spirit, 2 Kings 3:15. On some, it has a greater influence and effect than on others, and probably Saul was one of those. Not that it charmed the evil spirit, but it made his spirit sedate and allayed those tumults of the animal spirits by which the devil had advantage against him. The beams of the sun cannot be cut with a sword, quenched with water, or blown out with the wind, but by closing the window shutters, they may be kept out of the chamber. Music cannot work upon the devil, but it may shut up the passages by which he has access to the mind." Matthew Henry brings it out. I'm amazed because the servants was like, okay, we know music can help you for a bit. And there ought to be some folks that are thinking and processing now, because music is so powerful. Music is so powerful in our lives because we can be stressed out. We can be going through, and people can put a certain genre of music on, and then they have temporary peace. Yes, yes, that's why we got headphones now. When we put it on, we get that music on the inside. But we have to question ourselves, if we're always going to that music, maybe there's another level. There is another level that we need to go to the Spirit of God. We need to get into His presence. But there's a flip side to music that I want to bring out, that Matthew Henry goes on in this. He said, it is a pity that music, which may be so serviceable to the good temper of the mind, should ever be abused by any to support a vanity and luxury, and made an occasion of drawing the heart away from God and serious things. If this be to any the effect of it, it drives away the good spirit, not the evil spirit. The covering of the spirit. I'm telling you, so much comes out of this when we're learning about the personality of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Notice in 1 Samuel 16, 18 and 19. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I've seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who was skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and handsome person, and the Lord is with him. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who was with the sheep. Notice that 1 Samuel 16:20. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. Now look at this 16:23. And so it was, whenever the spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Here's the point. The Spirit's witness and gift. The Spirit's witness and gift. Now notice the intersection that's going on here. King David, the Holy Spirit has come upon him. Now he's the anointed. Now remember, King Saul, he's still in, but in essence, in God's sight, David has become king. He hasn't physically been put in that place before the people, but the Holy Spirit is upon him. So God begins to do things. Remember David and Goliath, the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit. All of these intersections are coming together. Now, as you read through the book of 1 Samuel, oftentimes the chronological factor is off. Many times it'll take one historical piece and put it with others to give us that whole total thought. But in here, we find out that God works it out. Listen to this. Orders David's steps, that he actually becomes in the courts of Saul. Because the anointing is upon David when he plays his harp, the anointing is there, and the Holy One of God is able to give peace to King Saul, who has the distressing spirit. Any hallelujahs out there? I think about this, how God is amazing in getting those who have his anointing in their lives, the Holy Spirit inside of them, getting them to the right place. Let me give you a scripture, Psalm 37:23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. That Lord is actually focusing back on that word, pneumatology, that breath of life, the knowledge, the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's on the inside ordering our steps, getting us to the place that we need to be at. There ought to be some shout when you think about your life. I'm talking to saved folks in the house, and you think back, you're like, how did I get to the point that I'm at? How am I so blessed? How did I receive this? You need to give God some praise, because it was God that was ordering your steps. It was the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Any happy folks in the house? But because David has the Spirit of God upon him, everything prospers. Yes, everything prospers. His music prospers. His life is prospering, all because the Holy Ghost. Now, please understand, that doesn't mean that David didn't go through some stuff, and doesn't mean that you're not going to go through stuff. But even when we go through things, even when we have issues, as long as I got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me and you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, we still got the victory. Any shouts in the house? We still got the victory, because every now and then when we began to think about the goodness of of Jesus and all that he's done, it's like a wheel in the middle of the wheel. The Holy Ghost begins to shout on the inside. And please understand, you don't need the right music to be able to shout. You don't need somebody to say the right things. It's because the Holy Ghost is excited in you. When you get up in the morning without any music, I dare you just to lift up your hands and say, God, I thank you. You'll feel something move on the inside. When you're at noonday and you're on your job and maybe you're a little stressed with some stuff, well, if you just turn your mind to God and say, Lord, I just thank you for your spirit on the inside, I'm telling you, there will be a change on the inside. I'm talking about the covering of the spirit. Look at Psalms 101. David brought it out. He said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Listen to this, that third verse. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. There it is. And whatever he does shall prosper. I'm talking about the covering of the spirit. When God is on the inside, I said it before, all things are possible. David goes on to say this in Psalm 90:17. He says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Any hallelujahs out there? Well, as we pull all this together today, I want you to think about the covering of the spirit. Again, we take it for granted so often that God is on the inside, that we're covered, that our steps are being ordered. But please understand, in this situation today, King Saul failed, and David, he's the anointed, but I need to let you know David is going to fail. But I want to take you to the real king. Oh, you know his name, King Jesus. Jesus had to ensure, he had to come and ensure that we could have the Spirit dwelling on the inside, that the Holy Ghost just wouldn't leave us from time to time for those who are true believers. Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist actually talks about this. He said, I did baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Anyhow, hallelujah. John the Baptist said, I want you to know this is going to be different from the Old Testament. I'm going to be able to take you down into water, but only Jesus, through what he's done, is going to introduce the Holy Spirit on the inside. John the Baptist said, we've known in the Old Testament in the past that the Holy Ghost would sit on top of people for periods of time, on prophets and kings, anointed ones, but God has a new plan for the Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside. So Jesus said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down to heaven, from heaven to earth, and walk among men. I'm going to show them what the Spirit is without measure, healing the sick, raising the dead. I'm going to walk on water, but I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to go to a cross of Calvary after I've been betrayed and beaten, nails in my hands, and there I'm going to carry their griefs and bear their pains for them. Notice Luke 23:42-43. Remember, as Jesus is on the cross of Calvary and he's about ready to give up the ghost, one of the thieves realized something. This man is not like us. This man is covered with something that's different. He didn't understand what the Holy Ghost was about. But then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave. But I'm so glad to tell you that on the third day he got up with all power and all glory. And because I've accepted him, and those out there have accepted him, we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and we have the covering of the Spirit. Are there any excited folks that say, thank God for saving me? Thank God for the Spirit that dwells on the inside of me. When I think about the wonders of God, when I think about his knowledge that supersedes us. Remember that Isaiah, his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways, and how he could ensure us having his Spirit dwelling with us on a daily basis. And I think how often we've grieved him. Saints of God, I want you to have a new respect for the personality of the Holy Spirit, that we need to live our lives as he leads us, that we need to live our lives in a way that glorifies God every day, every hour, every minute, every second, that we need to live our lives in awareness. I'm talking to the saints out there, of the Spirit of God and the wonders of what God has done for us. Maybe you're out there and you don't know him. You don't have this experience of having the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, leading you and guiding you. You don't understand that. Well, I come to you and I give you that scripture again. It says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and you will be saved. According to the scriptures, when you're saved, the Spirit comes on the inside of you. Yes, he comes on the inside. He's our keeper. He's our comforter. He's our everything. God meets man. Oh, what a beautiful picture. And I'm a witness. You'll never, ever be the same when the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you. Man, we've learned some lessons from the Old Testament, but I'm excited as we're progressing our way to the New Testament so that we can see how the personality of the Holy Spirit interacts with the believer. Oh, we have a special place. And even as the days are getting darker and darker, because the Spirit of God dwells in us, you know what? Our lives are going to shine brighter and brighter. There ought to be some amens. Oh, as we think about the wonderful God that we serve and what he's done for us, let us pray. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for all that you do. Forgive us for so many times not recognizing you, taking you for granted, even grieving you. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've allowed your Spirit to be with us, that we can get more acquainted with what you're doing and what you have done in our lives. Lord, please continue to save souls, bring them to the knowledge of the truth of you. Thank you for an end-time revival. Thank you, God, for the Spirit that you've given to man. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If I walk through the pathway of beauty, if I rest to close up the day, I shall see the great King as beauty. Oh Lord, when I go.
covering of the Spirit. Aren't you glad that you're saved? Aren't you glad that you have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you? Man, we're going to continue on this journey, but I want you to really, as you go through this week, thank God for God's powerful Holy Spirit that's doing a wonderful, wonderful work in us. Well, until we meet again, you be blessed.